Part 1, Chapter 20. Alma destroyed? Civil war tore the heart out of Africa's first democratic country, Liberia. When we received reports and pictures of the devastation at ELWA Radio Village in Liberia, a flood of memories came back to us. The room in which our wedding took place, the first wedding at our beloved Elwa, the children's programming office, where Aunt Sammy and I worked happily together, Roland's program traffic office, and the tape and record library, which stored all the music and language programs, the control rooms where we spent so much time, our other office locations, the French and follow-up departments, the tech shop where Roland liked to hang out, the view toward the beautiful ocean front, and the Delahaye Mansion, as we called it, where we enjoyed so many good times of fun, food, and fellowship. It was hard to believe the sight of the beachfront road, where all the coconut palm trees had been cut down, resembling railroad cross ties lying across the road. We used to love to watch the sky through those beautiful palm trees on moonlit night strolls. Then there was a transmitter building with its asbestos roof shattered into thousands of small pieces, covering the floor in front of the line of silent giants facing the master control room, with a tall floor fan presiding over the debris, depicting the awful devastation of war to the physical plant. Roland commented at the time, "Horrible as this conflict was, it was not the first time Elwa was bombed and looted and became a victim of civil war. 20 years ago, an even more devastating war was fought at Elwa Radio Village, though buildings and equipment were not damaged, and only 2 missionary families were evacuated. It was a spiritual war that we believe damaged the ministry of Elwa more than physical bombs could ever accomplish. However, as my sister said, the real answers will only be available in heaven. There has been much soul-searching, both personally and corporately, regarding whether the destruction was a judgment on the ministries of Elwa. And we have tried to keep our hearts tuned to what the Lord is saying to us. We may never know how it fits His plan, even in heaven, but we do know He is sovereign, wise, loving, immutable, and ever-present." It was 1990, 18 years after the Lord told us to leave Liberia and missionary radio station ELWA. My sister Pat and her husband John Shea and other Elwa missionaries kept us informed regarding the events leading to the shutdown of ELWA and the eventual evacuation of all of the 130 missionaries and their children from Liberia. ELWA had just celebrated 36 years of unbroken radio ministry. The missionary staff had been busy making plans for expansion of its many-faceted ministries, including adding programs in 25 more African languages. Elwa was airing the gospel 250 hours each week in over 40 languages and dialects when it was shut down by Liberia's civil war. In 1979, the meeting of the OAU, Organization of African Unity, had been hosted by Liberia. Colonel Gaddafi reportedly asked President Talbert to stop Radio Elwa transmissions to North Africa because of the, as he said, corrupting influence on youth. The story continued that Talbert said since Liberia was founded on Christian principles, he would not do that. Talbert was dead in 9 months at the hands of coup makers who seized power until Charles Taylor and other factions forced the end to the regime 10 months later in 1990. Gaddafi got his opportunity through Charles Taylor and 200 Libyan-trained Liberian commandos to put a finger in the eye of U.S. interests in Liberia, and incidentally put an end to all of El Radio's Arabic broadcasts to the Middle East. There had been unrest in Liberia in 1979, leading to a bloody coup in 1980, carried out by men in the Liberian army, led by Master Sergeant Samuel K. Doe. Doe was elected president of Liberia in 1985, and the country was somewhat quiet for a few years, while a war was about to be exported to Liberia from Libya. The Ewa ministries had continued, and SIM church planting work in Liberia expanded during that time. All of that drastically changed when Liberia was plunged into a terrible civil war in 1990. Pat and John Shea compiled a calendar of events of the war of 1990. I added some details gleaned from letters and reports from the Sheas and SIM special report on ELWA shutdown, and letters and reports from other ELWA missionaries. December 1989, former government official Charles Taylor invades Liberia with armed dissidents known as the National Patriotic Front of Liberia, NPFL, to overthrow Doe's government. Although there are reports of atrocity of war in the interior of Liberia, ELWA continues making plans and moving ahead with projects for future ministries. January 1990, President Doe issues shoot-to-kill orders after claiming rebel forces killed 200 people. Amnesty International estimates 20,000 people flee Liberia's interior to Cote d'Ivoire and Guinea. March 1990. Missionaries Tom and June Jackson found shot dead in northern Liberia. They had been serving the Lord in Liberia for 50 years. April 1990. British and American embassies advise their nationals to leave. May 1990. SIM evacuates most of its 130 missionaries and 80 children. June 1990. UK and US station ships off Liberian coast to evacuate remaining nationals if necessary. The last regular international flights leave Liberia and the main airport is abandoned. July 1, 1990. Shooting begins within 2 miles of ELWA. July 5, ELWA radio is turned off for the first time in over 36 years after being warned that it was likely to become a military target. Refugees continue to stream by the thousands onto ELWA base for safety, including the Sheas from their home at SIM area headquarters 3 miles away. July 22nd, NPFL forces appear at ELWA. Everyone begins fearing stray bullets every day. July 25th, shooting around and into ELWA campus results in the deaths of 4 refugees and injury of 6. Warnings of impending heavy assault prompt departure of the last 10 SIM missionaries and some 22,000 refugees from ELWA. The NPFL agrees to give protection to the convoy of missionaries as they leave. That afternoon, the 10 missionaries follow the refugees in 9 vehicles, 3 of them serving as ambulances for 16 hospital patients who could not walk. The patients are transferred to the Mining Center Hospital at Bong, 60 miles away. As the missionaries left, Liberian staff and friends encouraged them. "Don't cry for us. God is here. He will take care of us," Maybe God will have to scour this place clean and start over. It's good that you have to go. Now we will have to depend on the Lord. July 27th. While preparing to continue the next day to the Côte d'Ivoire border, five of the missionary men, including my brother-in-law, John Che, are asked to return to Elwa by NPFL fighters to activate the radio transmitter for a message from Charles Taylor, declaring himself president of Liberia. Later that evening, the five men are released to rejoin the other missionaries and all cross safely into Côte d'Ivoire the next evening. July 29th. Evidently in retaliation for the broadcast by Charles Taylor, government troops bombard the Elwa campus with rockets, damaging and destroying several houses and other buildings, including the Elwa Press. July 30th. Government troops massacre 600 people at the Lutheran Church in Monrovia. August 5th. U.S. Marines land in Monrovia to protect the U.S. Embassy and evacuate Americans. Meanwhile, the missionaries who evacuated to Côte d'Ivoire now fly from there to their homelands. August 23rd, West African countries send ground and naval forces to Liberia to force an end to fighting. These forces are called ECOMOG. August 30th, an interim government is named in exile by West African countries. September 9th, President Doe is wounded and captured by a splinter Patriotic Front faction, which announces his death the next day. October 21. Elwa Studio Building, Power Plant, and Transmitter Building with its five transmitters are burned, possibly by retreating NPFL forces using rocket launchers. November 28. All parties in conflict agreed to a ceasefire, including Charles Taylor, whose Libyan backing agree it will no longer support him. December 4, 1990. Confirmation of destruction of ELWA is received by SIM mission. Eyewitnesses confirmed that the ELWA main studio administration building, transmitter building, and part of the power plant were totally burned, completely destroyed. Except for one drawer of personnel records, not a shred of paper, not a single recording, not a piece of equipment survived in its studio and transmitter buildings. Only 10 houses out of about 50 were habitable. Looters took nearly everything of value. Whatever was left after the multiple lootings and burnings over the months of July through October of 1990. The antennas were still standing, and the school, gym, Elwa Hospital, and pharmacy were intact, though mostly looted. All the palm trees had been cut down in search of the edible heart at the top of the tree. It was reported that at least 250,000 Liberians were killed during the war, which formally ended in 2003. Nearly 1 million refugees fled Liberia to escape the atrocities and massacres of the Liberian people by power-hungry, greedy men who received arms and ammunition from Libya. There were also 500,000 displaced people within Liberia. At that time, it was the largest percentage of population displacement anywhere in the world. Our hearts grieved for our beloved Liberian friends and their families. A letter was received in December 1990 from one of the refugees who took shelter on the Elwa base, which said, "I lived near the Elwa campus and in July, my husband and I took refuge there. The missionaries were very kind to us, I mean to all the refugees. They, the missionaries, had to leave, but they tried very hard. I just want to let you know that if it were not for ELWA, many more would have died. Many found the Lord while they were at your campus. God is sovereign. His hand is at work for good, Pat and John Shea observed. The 22,000 refugees had been organized into groups by the ELWA staff. Three men were in charge of 17 pastors who had a prayer service in various groups among the refugees each night. The refugees were packed into vacant missionary homes. About 140 people were in one house. The school, gym, clinic, hospital, and pharmacy, and in makeshift lean-tos around every major building and on many front and back porches. It was rainy season, but the Lord was gracious to not allow the usually heavy rain to fall on the refugees. God cared for His own people during the horrible war. One of the Liberian ELWA staff men was spared from death several times because he was wearing his ELWA shirt. Another staff member was tied up, ready for execution, and his friend from ELWA pleaded for his life. They refused to save him. Friend left, thinking they had killed him after he was gone. They put a knife to his throat three times, but still did not kill him. Later, a commandant desperately wanted him killed, but a supervisor said, "No, don't kill him. He's a journalist." Many stories of miraculous deliverances came out of the war. Perhaps only 5 of the 200 employed Liberian staff or their families were killed in the duration. Our Lord is surely in control of every circumstance in our lives. In the aftermath of the war, children were dying from malnutrition and cholera. No four-legged animal could be found in all of Liberia, where elephants, pygmy hippos, deer, and other wild animals roamed the forest before the war. No palm trees were standing at ELWA. People had eaten every part of them that was possible to eat. In January 1992, after 18 months' silence, its first silence since ELWA went on the air 38 years earlier, ELWA was back on the air. At the end of 1991, a new and much smaller facility was set up right next to the ashes and rubble of ELWA Radio's original home. An old auto maintenance center and security office was renovated into a small radio station. Local FM broadcasts to the Monrovia area went on the air in English. About 30 missionaries had returned to ELWA in 1991, including Pat and John. Determined to do all they could to restore ELWA to its original purpose of teaching the everlasting truths of the Christian faith as found in the Holy Bible by the means of radio broadcasting, training church leaders, and medicine. But ELWA Radio was not the same. There were no Liberian language broadcasts, no broadcasts in the many other languages of Africa and the Middle East. All of the recordings had been destroyed, as well as the transmitters to broadcast them. They were not likely to be replaced. In October 1992, war hit Monrovia again. 5 nuns in Monrovia were killed. The American Embassy suddenly advised all U.S. citizens to leave as soon as possible. 28 SIM staff and 13 children were evacuated from Liberia. 4 men felt the Lord leading them to stay to keep ELWA Hospital and ELWA Radio operating and serving Liberia. It was 2 years earlier that the ELWA studios and transmitters had been completely destroyed. The missionaries wondered, would it happen again? The Elvis Idaho Monrovia remained relatively quiet while fighting went on a few miles away. The hospital and radio station continued in operation and remained a big encouragement to the local people. November and December were difficult times for the four missionary men who remained at Elwha. By mid-January 1993, ECOMOG had pushed the MPFL away from the city. Most of the 28 Elwha missionaries and their families who had been evacuated in 1992 returned to Liberia. Would Monrovia and eventually Liberia enjoy a time of peace for a change? The Lord allowed Elwha to remain on the air for about 3.5 more years. A shortwave transmitter was added in 1994 to cover all of Liberia, mainly in English. A new transmitter building housed a renovated 1938 vintage 50,000-watt transmitter to upgrade the broadcast services for West Africa. Then in April 1996, a new wave of war struck, and soldiers again invaded the Elwha campus. 56 missionaries and their children had to be evacuated from Liberia by U.S. helicopters. More soldiers came onto the campus, and it was totally looted, including the vehicles. Elwha radio again fell silent. As my sister Pat and her husband John Shea reported these evacuations in April and May 1996 by email, they concluded with, "Humanly speaking, this is again the end of the radio facilities. Maybe this time of the hospital and other ministries in Liberia as well. But there are no regrets. Every minute we were on the air, every patient we cared for, every church leader we helped train and encourage is worth what we put into them, and we hang on to God's promise, 'My word will not return to me empty.'" The invasion of the Elwha campus in April 1996 was not the end of the Elwha ministries. Some of the Liberian staff members were formed into the Elwha management team. As they consulted with a few missionaries who had returned to Liberia, the radio station again went on the air with a limited schedule on FM in October 1997. Ron and Paul Sonius had been stationed in Côte d'Ivoire since their forced evacuation with the other missionaries in 1993. They sent out a Liberia update by email in August 1997 before moving back to the USA. They reported that the International Church of Monrovia meeting on the Elwha compound was continued after only a few weeks without services. John Tamba, the pastor, reported, "The membership has started to swell. There are presently 14 students in the baptism class." One church member wrote, "From the war, I learned that the devil often traps us before we come to realize his strategies. I also learned God wants us to depend on him for guidance and strength. I learned to take every situation to the Lord, no matter how insignificant it may be. I believe out of the ashes of this war, God will build a strong church because Liberians are beginning to become mission-minded. I see the Spirit of God moving with deep conviction throughout this land of liberty in a new way. Liberians have been playing with God, but he is turning Liberia upside down to get the Christians serious about his business." The ministries of ELWA were revitalized by the Liberian management team in close partnership with SIM missionaries. Elwha Radio has continued on the air on FM ever since it went back on the air in 1997 and on a small shortwave transmitter since about 2005, with the exception of downtime due to transmitter and other breakdowns while awaiting parts and assistance to repair the equipment. The greatest trial during this latest time was a fire. On election day in November 2011, the radio studio went up in flames. This was a building which had been restored from the old auto maintenance and security office after the destruction of 1990. The Elvis staff, along with the Liberia Fire Service, fought hard to contain the fire. About two-thirds of the station's collection of CDs and tapes and a sound mixer were rescued from shelves with only smoke damage. Everything else was a total loss. Thankfully, no one was injured. In spite of this major setback, the staff was able to go back on the air with limited programs and music from the transmitter building down the road from the studio. My nephew, Alan Shea, and his family arrived in Liberia in January 2012. Alan is a great asset in setting up the technical needs of the temporary station and assisting in plans for constructing a new studio building. After the fire, James Kesley, one of the Liberian leaders at ELWA, wrote, "This has to be the work of the devil. Please uphold ELWA before the throne of the Almighty, that the devil and all his agents will be put to shame, and that the gospel will go out with conviction and power to their amazement. God is still on the throne, and he can be trusted to do all things well."